Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Today on the 10 Adventures podcast, Karen and I are going to discuss something that people ask me at least all the time. And it's how do you get your kids into the outdoors and into travel? And I know Karen has had great experience and her children are all world travelers. My family's younger and we're just kind of in the process of getting them to be backpackers. What Karen and I want to do today is just kind of share some of our ideas about what we've learned, and there are lots of failures to get your kids excited to go into the outdoors and excited to travel. And we just want to share some of these ideas because this is something I know people are really interested in. How's it going, Karen?
Pretty good. Now, Richard, from what I understand, you've just got back from a big backpacking trip with your three kids. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a good time to have this podcast. It's kind of a trip I've been building up for, maybe 10 years, but definitely the last few years, where it was a real backpacking trip. And so my youngest is only 6 years old. So to go and have a real kind of adult backpacking trip with the whole family was really, really fantastic. And there was very little complaining, even though we had one day where we were on the trail for over 8 hours. So happy to be back, a little bit tired because I had a big pack, but really satisfied.
So you mentioned your youngest is 6 years old. How old are your other two kids?
So I have a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old. In a sense, having kids that are really close together, I think there's a benefit because, you know, on the trail, they can kind of pick each other up. They're very similar. But it's also meant that when our 9-year-old was ready to start doing backpacking, obviously our youngest was still, we were still carrying him. And so we couldn't do a backpack with, one of the kids on our backs. Although I remember seeing people in Patagonia, the husband had, must have been 115 liter pack, and the wife had a toddler on her back, and they got out in the middle of nowhere, and they just set up their tent beside Ruta 40 in a huge windstorm. I thought, holy cow, those are the hardest core people I've ever seen. We're not like that, but I guess you can carry a child and go backpacking, but that would be really tough.
So tell me what route you would plan to do when you left on this epic backpack.
We're going to do a 4-day route. In the end, we did a 3-day route because the last campground was like 5 kilometers from the car. And it just seemed, let's get out. We're dirty. It was really hot and lots of bugs. So we went to the Yoho Valley, which is just in Yoho National Park beside Banff National Park in the Canadian Rockies. The Canadian Rockies are famous for being really, really cold. Even in summer, they can be cold. We were quite lucky that it was very warm. So we didn't have to deal with one of the hardest things with young kids, which is like freezing cold weather at night where it can go down to freezing even in summer. Because that actually is one of the biggest challenges with kids because they just can't stay warm. And so we have a bunch of different things we do to try and keep our little ones warm. But yeah, went to Little Yoho Valley. We did the Ice Line, which is one of the premier trails in the Canadian Rockies. Visited a lot of waterfalls and we accidentally did some scrambling. I did a trail I've never done before and didn't realize it was kind of a kilometer and a half through a boulder field. So the kids loved it. My wife was a bit stressed out. I was a bit stressed out, having to kind of, help the kids get over big rocks or around big rocks. But that was just part of the adventure for them.
It sounds like it would have been exciting, and it's good if the kids were able to keep a positive attitude despite you and your wife being somewhat stressed. So, the obvious question that leaps to mind for me is who carried what? How did you divvy up the gear that you needed, and how much did the kids themselves carry?
So to start off with this is if you're going to go with young kids, you kind of have to embrace ultralight because as the adults, we're carrying like almost all the stuff. Each of the kids has a backpack. Our oldest carried most of the sleeping mats. So he carried 3 or 4 of the sleeping mats, his little teddy, and I think he carried his raincoat. And then the younger ones carried their teddy, a raincoat, and I think their water, so not a huge amount. I think one may have taken the a sleeping bag as well. But really, outside of that, it was my wife and I. So she has a 60-liter pack where she carried most of the clothes and some of the sleeping bags, and everything else was on my back. So that's one of the hard parts is you do got to, You know, you do have to shoulder a big load, which is why, again, these shorter trips are useful because you don't have, you know, 5 days of food. Prior to doing this backpack, what we did last year and the year before was we'd almost like, you know, hike out to a backcountry campground and use that as a base for a couple of days. And so, you know, as, you know, progressing into this, you know, you don't just one day go out backpacking and say, let's hope the kids can do it. It's kind of been an iterative process from, can they walk for 5 kilometers? Can they walk 10 kilometers? Can they carry a day pack for 10 kilometers? Can they make it 15 kilometers? Can we spend a couple nights in one campsite where it's just, you know, getting a load out to the backcountry to then this year? And actually, before we did this trip, we went to Shadow Lake Lodge, which is a backcountry lodge in the Canadian Rockies, where it still was a long hike in and we carried a lot of stuff. That was kind of the test for the kids. Okay, can they make a 15K walk with about 400 or 500 meters of elevation gain? So that was kind of the progression from, you know, they couldn't walk anywhere to, hey, they just backpacked, you know, 40 kilometers over 3 days.
So this is really something you've been building up for over years, it sounds like.
Yeah, I remember when we had, I think we only had two kids, I started to try going like car camping. And every year it failed. Like, it was really tough. Our kids wouldn't go to sleep until 11 and then they'd wake up at first light, which in the Rockies is 4:30 a.m. They get cold. And so it's kind of year after year of failure. And as adults, we don't fail very much. But, you know, going out every year, I'd say, oh, no, this isn't going to work this year. It's, you know, lots of screaming. They're unhappy. It's not, you know, they're too cold, you know, we can't really do anything. You know, getting your kids into the outdoors, it's a lot of it for me, at least, was recognizing, you know, what they could do and make sure they always had a really good experience, you know, to push them through when they're hating something or they're grumpy. That never seemed like the right solution for me. And then maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it started to be, oh, hey, they actually like camping. They're going to bed a bit earlier. They're having a full night's sleep. They like kind of going exploring during the day. And that was kind of the genesis of, okay, now we can do car camping. You know, now we can do kind of longer car camping. Now we can do kind of these stationary backcountry trips. And then now we can do backpacking.
So when they were really small, you mentioned you try and make it so that they had a really good experience. So when they were really small, before you were even thinking of a backpack, when you were just trying to get them walking or hiking or being outside, what did you do to try and make it a great experience for them and encourage them to keep going?
The biggest thing is to really pay attention, listen to the kids. And in my case, they just, you know, if you could distract them or get them talking, they could walk a lot farther. And so we would, you know, start talking about toys or cartoons or their favorite action hero. I also started, when things got really bad, I created all these characters I could tell stories about. So I actually have another podcast where I have about 50 or 60 of just the stories I've told while we're out on walks trying to, you know, make the gang forget about the walk we're doing. But I think a big thing is also finding the right walk for the age of your kids. And at least with my gang, they've always really struggled with uphill, with elevation gain. And so for young kids, they can walk on flat surfaces pretty well. So it's finding flatter walks you can do with them to kind of build up the muscles. Even though you may think, oh, it's only 150 meters of elevation gain, for a 4 or 5 year old, that's a really big day for them. And it's really challenging for them. And, you know, when we do, even now when we do elevation, there's a lot of situations where you just have to take a break every 10 minutes. Whereas an adult, you just power up, you know, you got an hour of climbing, just power up that and keep going. But with kids, you still have to, you know, kind of pay attention and, yeah, take a break every 10 or 15 minutes just so they can sit down, have a little Smartie or something like that, get some energy back up.
I remember when my kids were young, when they were very young, we had a rule where we would say, okay, when we're hiking, you can talk about whatever you want and we'll listen 100%. And I remember when my son was about 5, we were in Lake O'Hara, which is another epic hiking area in the Canadian Rockies. At that point, my son was used to the idea of, yeah, he could talk about whatever he wanted. And for a whole day, a whole hike, he continuously talked about Build-A-Bear, which was like a novelty stuffed teddy bear that you could design yourself at a shop. And he would talk over and over about, you know, what bear he was going to get and what accessories he was going to put on it. And he would just go like talk and talk and talk and talk about Build-A-Bear. And then when he ran out of things to talk about, he'd go right back to the beginning and tell us the same thing. And it was like, you know, it never ended. He just kept talking on and on and on about Build-A-Bear. But he did a big hike that day, so it worked for him. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. I've talked so much about Pokemon and Beyblades, which are two of my kids' favorite toys. I actually don't know much about them because, you know, it's just, you know, once they get talking about some toys, you know, there's a lot of, But as long as they're talking, they're just really happy. It's funny, you know, they'll just, again, they're same thing. They'll just keep talking and talking and talking. There's hundreds of different Beyblades and they'll kind of just go through the litany of them, the pros and cons, and then go back to the start. It's funny how easy it is if you know that trick to get kids out walking. Now you also had your kids doing some pretty epic backpacks. I remember seeing photos of your family doing the Skyline in Jasper when you had fairly young kids. What was your experience like getting your kids up and doing a pretty aggressive trail with lots of elevation gain?
My kids weren't as young as your kids are right now when we did that backpack. So our eldest was more of a younger teen at that point. So I must say it was like an excellent experience because he was a young teen and he decided he wanted to carry extra gear, you know, to kind of prove himself. So I think we gave him like a large tent to carry and extra food. So for us, that was great. Our youngest then was fairly young when we did that backpack. And I think he was more like your kid's age. And so he wasn't carrying much at that point. And I do remember there's one pass that you have to go up and over. And I remember a lot of it was in the snow. Both my husband and I, we remember him, you know, kind of crying for that pass. And I think in the end, I had his little backpack on my front and my backpack on the back. And then we were up and over and everything was fine. But yeah, it was a great experience. Even the kids remember it, like, because they're all growing now. They even remember that as a fun thing as well. So that wasn't a hike we talked about Build-A-Bear, but I'm sure there's other things we talked about. Oh, and I remember my eldest son at that point, he brought balls and we have, because he wanted to practice juggling on the backpack. So we have pictures of him on top of assorted passes juggling three balls. So, but hey, as long as he was carrying the tent, we were happy.
I can't wait till my guys are a bit older and we can do kind of big, long backpacks and I get to carry a little small pack because we have three teenage boys that want to carry all dad's gear. One thing that is interesting now that is a real benefit, the technology. And so you probably never had iPads or little mini speakers, but what we do as well now is we have this little, 100-gram speaker where we just play audiobooks. So we just go into Audible and get kids' audiobooks, like listen to Lord of the Rings series. And that's another thing that can keep the kids really occupied. And then we have a mini iPad where I charge it up and we'll choose like two or three movies. So one of the rewards we give at the end of the day is, okay, if you guys are really good, when we go to bed, we can watch, 45 minutes of, SpongeBob SquarePants or some, I don't even know if we watched that one, but some cartoon where I just think how much benefit that technology is to kind of take the pressure off us as parents. It would have been much more difficult for you because you didn't have that diversion. You're going to say, okay, the kids need, we need a timeout. We'll put them in the tent and just let them watch a show for 45 minutes and we can just sit down and chill out.
Yeah, I remember being in the Lake O'Hara campground with our kids. I think we had a two-man and a three-man tent. So the boys were in the three-man tent and my daughter and I were in the two-man tent. And at one point I heard my husband telling the boys, okay, now, and they're in a three-man tent. Now we're playing I Spy with My Little Eye. But I think he said, I spy with my little eye something that's green. But inside the tent, everything was green. And then they followed that up with tag inside a small backpacking tent. And then apparently there was a, oh yeah, we're playing tag, no tag backs. The other thing I remember them doing is those you talked about, like in the Rockies, it being pretty cold overnight, and it was certainly cold overnight. And in the morning, the little tables, like in the backcountry campground where you'd have breakfast, were all frozen. So the two boys would get their mugs for drinking and kind of play hockey with them, you know, on the ice table. So I don't know, maybe you didn't even need technology. You just like, they could always find something to do. Actually, even when the kids were little, like really little, and we would just do regular camping, you know, like car camping. I remember we would tell the kids, you know, after we had breakfast, and my husband would get a stick and he'd draw a line in the dirt around where the picnic table was when we were car camping. And he would tell them, and this was when they were, you know, small, like the oldest was 7 or something. He'd say, okay, you guys can't come in the line for an hour now. And we'd kind of do the dishes and then sit down and read, and the kids would just go off into, you know, just the little bit of bushes around the campground. You know, you could still see them easily, but they were to stay out there and play, and they'd always find something to do. You know, there's always something to find or look for or explore, especially when you're young.
I'm going to steal that idea with the circle around the table. But it is the same thing. When you're in nature, it's funny, just the kids are just happy doing whatever. And you know, we take a lot of card games as well, but they're just happy, like looking around. If you give them any sort of, you know, job, you know, they love go find the firewood from the, you know, the campsite that just left this morning. And they love just, you know, going over, carrying it back, and, you know, any little job, they're just happy doing that. I'm going to shift gears here a bit, because you've also done some pretty big trips with your kids, and it's not necessarily just, you know, hiking, but you've traveled. I know you did one trip in Europe, one in South America. Did you do one in Asia with your family?
Yeah, they were older then, though. The first big trip we did was when the oldest was in grade 6 and the youngest was in grade 1, and we took a 4-month leave from our jobs, and we went to travel in Europe, because that was always kind of our, you know, one of our dreams was to do a, you know, multi-month trip to Europe with the kids. And I think, that was just an epic trip. It was just so fun, and it was so fun doing it with children, because I think when you're traveling with your kids, you start seeing things through different eyes, you know? And we were really worried about finances at that time. Like, how are we going to afford this? How are we going to make this work financially? But actually, everything went a lot better than what we expected. And we just went week by week. So we chose to stay in places for a week at a time, you know, so we could get an apartment, because that was before Airbnb. So we would have to somehow find an apartment, you know, because with 3 kids, you need a bit more space and preferably cooking facilities. So we would stay for a week at a time and then move locations. So that was a great trip. And then that went so well that a few years later, we decided to take 2 months off of work, and we went down to Chile and Argentina and did something similar. Although that time, the kids were a little bit older. We weren't staying for a week at a time at places. We were kind of a bit more fluid. You know, as they get older, it was probably a bit easier to travel with them, and we weren't worried about naps or that type of thing.
So that's really interesting, because we tried in 2017 to take our family and go basically work remotely out of the UK and then across Europe. And we'd planned to go for, I think, 4 months as well. And we had a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And we only made it about 10 weeks. And then, you know, we came back, and I remember telling you about that. And your comment was, oh, it's really hard with kids your age. It's a lot easier once they're kind of in grade 1 or grade 2. And with kids that are now in that age group, it's just incredible, you know, how much easier it is. You know, you don't have to worry about diapers and strollers and all the car seats. And it really is, you know, if you can do it when your kids are younger, but if you just wait till they're, you know, 5 or 6 and they can kind of take care of themselves a little bit, it is like going now, you know, if there wasn't COVID, going now would be a real joy, because it's not like you're having to give, you know, lots of care to young kids. They can kind of enjoy it. They want to go to museums. They want to do stuff. So I think that's good advice you gave me, to wait until they get a bit older, because it definitely is tougher with young kids.
When they're really young, for sure. Actually, when we did that Europe trip, our eldest, who was grade 6 at that time, he actually pushed us harder to do stuff than we pushed him. He was always mad at us because we weren't doing enough sightseeing. So we laugh about that. In fact, we invited their grandparents to join us for a couple of weeks of that. And we kind of told them, okay, you're in charge of, you know, taking this fellow out sightseeing. We're going to just rest at home with the little ones. But they liked that, so it was good.
And then how did you handle school? I know when I did it, you know, it was, you know, before the kids were really, I think my oldest was in kindergarten then, so it wasn't a big deal. But in your case, you had kids that were in school. How did you manage to, you know, go off for 4 months, which would have taken some of the school year?
Yeah, it was 4 months of the school year because we kind of went in the spring. We did work at educational things. So, you know, we had workbooks and we had some computer programs that they would do. And we always did a lot of reading with them. And I was kind of anxious about that, you know, like what's going to happen. The other thing is we planned to incorporate like what we were doing and making it an educational experience. So like when you would go to an art gallery, then you'd talk about different artists, you know, because there's tons of books out there that present things like, say, artists, but in an interesting way for children. Or, you know, when we go see historic sites, we would, you know, read the travel guide the night before and then tell them a bit of the history about that. So when we went to the castle in Chinon, we would talk about Joan of Arc. And, you know, you could make that into a story, right? And kids love stories no matter how old they are. So the funny thing was that at the end of the day, we were really worried about what was going to happen with the trip. Like, what was it going to be like after, you know, 4 months away from school? But actually, when we went back in the fall to school, they were actually all ahead of their peers. You know, like the math that we'd done kind of in the mornings before we went out sightseeing and the reading we'd done in the evenings. I think because it was one-on-one, they ended up ahead of everyone else. So we actually didn't lose anything at all by doing it all by ourselves while we were traveling, and the kids came out ahead.
And I'd imagine just, you know, getting to see different ways of living, you know, Europe is, you know, even though it's very similar to North America, it is also very different in terms of architecture and history and languages and food. And so there's a lot of, you know, learning that's not, you know, textbook learning, but just seeing, you know, different ways of living, learning different languages, which I think is really beneficial. But how did that change when your kids were older? Like in elementary, you can kind of, you know, you're not learning textbook stuff. You don't have end of year formal exams. But when you get into junior high and high school, you start to have more like, you know, you're learning chemistry where there's a lesson plan where it's not just, oh, you know, we're doing some reading and math. There's more kind of tangible learning objectives. Was that a struggle for you when you went down to South America to deal with that?
No, because I think if once your kids are in high school, like, you know, the top few grades, I think it probably would be more of an issue when they're that age, because it really is hard, especially if they're on a semester system, to miss school of any substantial length. But even when we went down to South America, it wasn't, they weren't that old yet. And so you could just work with teachers and it wasn't too hard for that trip. But I was aware that at some point when they got to be older, it would make it very difficult unless they took like a semester off school or something like that.
And then, you know, looking where your kids are now, you know, they're all done university, kind of adults now. How do you think the outdoors and all these big trips changed them? You know, was it valuable for them? Do you see ways that, hey, all this time we spent as a family doing these cool trips, it changed them, or maybe it changed your relationship as a family?
Well, I think it really enhanced our relationship as a family because we all spent a lot of time together, you know, periodically. So, I mean, and we have so many great memories. You know, if we get together as a family, we will talk about, oh, you remember that time when we did this? Oh, remember that time we did that hike in Lake O'Hara? And Jonathan just kept talking about Build-A-Bear the whole time on repeat over and over. Like, you know, some of our jokes are about things like that. And you know, great memories are about that. And then I think, it definitely, the kids really have grown up with a sense of adventure and also, a love of the outdoors. All of them love hiking and backpacking. And in fact, even now the children are not children anymore, they're adults, and we still go backpacking with them, except for now they do carry more weight than us, absolutely. In fact, now the joke is whoever's coming backpacking with us is carrying the chair, because my husband likes those ultralight camp chairs, and whoever comes with us gets to carry the chair for him, as well as a lot of the food. So yeah, in fact, in the last 2 years since COVID, we've gone backpacking with each of them as a different trip. So yeah, my youngest, he's, right now spending all his time in the outdoors. He's working for the summer in a remote location and spends all his, time off doing stuff in the outdoors, whether it's backpacking or mountain biking or bike packing or surfing or ski touring. Yeah. And my daughter, she just spent years traveling the world. Her couple years overseas adventure ended with, 4 months in West Africa traveling solo. And she came home just as COVID was starting. So she got home just in time.
Speaking of COVID, I was out hiking with a hiking club I run here in the Rockies. And one of the fellows said an unexpected benefit for him for COVID was his university age kids came back, and he really felt he hadn't had that kind of time to talk with them and like get to know them. Once your kids leave, you don't have these long times together. And even though, they do trips, they go on holiday as a family, it kind of wasn't a situation where there's a lot of talking. They're doing a lot of stuff, but they're not having time to talk. And hearing you, talk about these backpacking trips, I know a backpack is a different trip from going on a cruise with family, because as a backpack, there's just, kind of these shared experiences and lots of time to talk, where it seems like, getting your kids into international kind of like harder travel or into the outdoors, it gives the opportunity for the family to kind of stay a family longer, to have these shared experiences, which are really tough as kids age. A lot of times they get tired of spending time with the parents, or when they see them, they're on their phones all the time. So it seems like in your case, that's been a really good way to kind of keep the family bond as your kids age and, make their own families. Would you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I also think, when you're backpacking or hiking, there's just so much time when you're just moving. Yeah, you're talking a lot. And sometimes it's just, did we miss the turnoff? How are we doing up there? My feet hurt. Sometimes it's that, but a lot of the time, just the solitude and the quiet, it kind of opens up space to have different conversations, just like you mentioned. And I think that's really, really a wonderful thing. Or sometimes just even sitting together and not talking, I know I did a backpack with my daughter last month. For 3 nights, we would we'd go to this one area where there was a beautiful high mountain lake with, glacier top mountains surrounding it. And we would grab this spot and we would set up all our stuff for cooking dinner. And we would, go for a swim after hiking all day. And then we just sit and look at the view as the light went down and became more and more golden. And, sometimes we wouldn't talk, but and just like sitting beside each other, sharing something incredibly beautiful. I don't know. It was pretty powerful. It was really lovely to share that with her. It's funny because when she was a little girl, she hated hiking. And she chose not to come on some of the backpacks. And now she's 24. And a couple weeks ago, she announced that she was really getting into hiking. And she decided that now she was an outdoor person. So I was pretty thrilled. I was like, okay, great. Mission accomplished. All three of them, love the outdoors now.
That sounds really great. I realize we've talked mostly kind of about the summer, but I remember 4 or 5 years ago, you gave me some good advice about the winter. And I was kind of thinking here and where I'm in Canada, you know, everyone puts their, you know, their kids into hockey. And I was, you know, stressing of, man, we're gonna have three kids on three different teams, you know, we'll be out driving like 7 days a week to practices and games. And like, we won't see each other as a family because there'll always be at least two people, you know, trying to go do something. And it just, you know, it didn't fit well with me. You know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, this just doesn't seem like the right solution for us, even though the kids love playing hockey. And you mentioned how you guys did a lot of ski holidays in the winter. And the benefit was, you know, all the things you could kind of do that as a family. So you'd go away for a week to the Rockies or in the interior of BC. And it was a way for the family to do something together. You didn't do kind of the conventional Canadian thing to get your kids in winter gymnastics or hockey or anything like that. You said, let's find an activity we can do as a family. And so that's something we've pursued. And it has been really great in the sense that we have all these incredible winter memories in backcountry huts. And just, you know, if you go to the Rockies in winter, it's really empty. So just going to Banff and, you know, midweek in winter is, it feels like there's nobody there. But that's definitely something that is, you know, great advice that I took. And it's been really nice to kind of try and grow the family bond.
And didn't you guys go to a backcountry hut this winter?
Yeah, we went to an alpine, actually it's my screensaver right now, us skiing across Cameron Lake in Waterton. It's a beautiful location. There's nobody there. The hut is definitely a mountain hut. It's an old warden cabin. There were some mice there. The heater didn't work. So it wasn't the best hut experience, but as a family, you know, the photos we have of just going out and we skied on Cameron Lake three or four times while we were there. It was just really, you know, a fun trip to do. I think it's like a 3 kilometer ski in from the end of the road where they stopped plowing it. So that was a great experience. This year, you know, we like to go to Emerald Lake Lodge, is another place where, you know, there's no TVs, there's no phones, and you just kind of get a fire going and spend your day playing games in the room or go out skiing. You know, we usually do two or three skis or snowshoes when we're there, which is just, you know, a ton of fun for the kids. You know, big deep BC powder, so. A fun way just to, you know, just to have some family time in winter where everyone's present and kind of doing the same thing.
And you have your kids doing cross-country skiing and downhill skiing and snowshoeing, right?
Yeah, we live in a community that is a lake with a big hill. And so actually one of the most fun things we did during lockdown was when there would be a big snowfall, we just ski across the lake, you know, go up the hill, and like the kids would do, you know, these little, you know, 10 meter slopes of powder. And so we just kind of yo-yo on this big hill. But it was just, yeah, just a ton of fun. They're out on their cross-country skis. There's this big natural park where we are, where again, after a really big snow, you go and, you know, you're following animal tracks in winter. So winter's, for us at least, a really fun way to get out when there's not many people around. Because it is, you know, we'll go to Fish Creek Park, which is this, you know, big inner city park, you know, not inner city, but, you know, city park. And there'll be nobody there. And so it's just kind of fun to go, you know, you're all bundled up in the cold and just, you know, snowshoe through powder following animal tracks is just so much fun for us. It doesn't sound that much fun, but it honestly is a lot more fun than it sounds.
I'm sure the kids love it, actually. And it's better than just sitting on their phones playing Minecraft, right? Better for their minds as well.
Yeah, they don't have phones, although some of their friends are starting to get phones, which... that's a constant request of getting either gaming computers or phones, but those are still many years off, I think.
Yeah, I don't think the requests are going to end soon, though. I think that's just going to get, they're going to get bigger and bigger.
Definitely. Well, Karen, thanks for talking about, you know, your experiences and how you got your kids into the outdoors and traveling internationally and kind of the result it's had on your family. I feel like I'm kind of on that same pathway of getting the kids to appreciate spending time as a family and going, you know, outdoors a lot. And hopefully as COVID continues to decline, you know, being able to go on some more exotic trips to let them, you know, see different cultures and languages and whatnot. But I do appreciate you sharing your experiences today.
Yeah, it's great hearing your stories. Eventually, I'm going to have to ask you what you served your kids to eat on the backpack, but we'll save that to a different talk.
I'll say one of my sons is a celiac. So he has mashed potatoes with bacon. and the rest of us have noodles. So I dehydrate a lot of vegetables, so they can have kind of like some real vegetables, some roughage in there, and then just itchy ban noodles. It's boring, but they love it. So nothing too exotic. We used to do the packaged meals, but they always seem to be a flavor they didn't like. So we just go really, really simple. So we know that they like what they're getting, and it's worked.
Sounds great.
All right, Karen. Until we meet again for our next podcast, cheerio.
Cheerio.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com? Where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.